Okay, this hour we'll take your phone calls with Rosemary Ellen Guiley. We will come right back on Coast to Coast Day Out. And welcome back, Rosemary. Okay, so Daniel, truck driving in Iowa, had a dream of nukes. He couldn't do anything. His family was in trouble. Everybody was in trouble. The dream went away, and now it's back again, and he claims he's got a new relationship. What's happening to that guy?
Well, one possibility is that the dream might be an anxiety trigger. Dreams of total disaster, where life is just torn apart and people die. Sometimes you think you're going to die in the dream, too. These often accompany major upheavals in life. And Daniel did say that he was going through a divorce while he was having this recurring dream of nuclear attack and death. Recurring dreams are part of this syndrome of upheaval in life, and oftentimes they stop when the problem is resolved, when you get past the emotional trauma of it. But if this were my dream, and I stress that individuals such as myself, we can help somebody understand their dreams, but only the dreamer can truly arrive at the meaning of the dream. This dream might have become a symbol for anxiety over whether or not a relationship is going to survive. If the divorce was particularly traumatic and a new relationship starts, there could be some sort of fear, anxiety going on in the background, like how much am I going to get involved? Is it all going to blow up on me? Those sorts of things. So that would, if that were my dream, that would be my approach, to examine my deepest and truest feelings about what's going on with the engagement in the new relationship.
Okay, to the phones we go. Let's go to Sarah in Longmont, Colorado. Hello, Sarah, go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yep, we sure can.
Thank you. So I have, since I was very, very young, had precognitive dreams. Although they never seem to be about anything important. They're always about, like, you know, somebody frying an egg at breakfast, or, you know, oh, I see this scene from a movie, like, 4 months before it comes out. And it's just really dumb stuff. But I've been trying to figure out if there's some way to maybe control them to where maybe they can help either myself or my family, you know, where I could see more important things coming up rather than just some scene from a movie, or, you know what I mean? So do you have any methods for things like that? One thought I only had was to try lucid dreaming, but so far that hasn't worked out for me.
Sometimes it is difficult for people to learn how to lucid dream. The ability varies considerably, but actually you are having important dreams. I call them little precognitions, and the ability to even perceive in advance small things in life is very significant and could very well open the door to what you would consider to be more important things that you would like to know about. So paying attention to your dreams is number one, to write them down. And when you have these precognitive dreams, learn how to recognize their signatures. They come with certain emotional tones, certain images, certain feelings. Track the time that it takes for something to manifest, and pay a special attention. Excuse me.
Poor Rosemary, losing voice.
Talking too much.
go ahead. You want to go get a glass of water while I...
I've got some water here, George.
All right, go ahead. Take a little gulp and do what you got to do. And it's always
a... Special attention to body feelings and emotional tones when you connect with the actual event that you saw in your dream. And these are all part of the way your higher self gives you intuitive information about everything going on in life. So when you start to recognize these sorts of signals, then when you're confronted with decisions you have to make, or trying to look into the future to anticipate how things are going to work out, you may recognize some of those same responses of emotions, thoughts, images, and body feelings as well. So that's one approach that I would try. And you may see over a period of time that your dreams are more responsive in terms of giving you information that's you would consider more helpful.
Okay, I can try that. Thank you.
All right, there you go. Next up, we go to Beth in Austin, Texas. Hey, Beth, take it away.
Hi, George. Hi, Rosemary. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, great. My question, I'm trying to condense it, is Rosemary, from the things you said about the gin earlier and your own experiences that you recounted and how you could tell it was the gin, I still didn't really hear something specific enough for me to understand how you know if it's a djinn or a ghost or an alien abduction or just bad luck or just telling, you know, really understanding why is it that, oh, well, that is a djinn. Can you provide some more specifics on that?
Sometimes it's by a process of elimination. When we go to investigate a case, whether it's a negative haunting or recurring entity contact or abduction experiences, you don't always know what you're dealing with right off the bat. You have to gather a lot of information. Sometimes people have lifelong experiences that fall into certain patterns. And those can be compared to patterns in certain types of entity cases. So, and even so, in many times, we as researchers and investigators often give something our best interpretation based on what we know. And when you're dealing with entities that have the ability to disguise themselves and to make you think there's something else, it may take a while to sort out. But things that I look for, there are, when people have recurring troubling experiences and abduction experiences, there are lifelong patterns for many of these people. Certain kinds of experiences start early in life. As I mentioned earlier, shadow people are often very prominent in those experiences. Multiple forms of entity manifestations and negative hauntings, all of which are aimed at the same objective, to harass people. If cases do not resolve, they are frequently djinn if they resist various remedies.
Are you convinced, Rosemary, that shadow people are djinn?
I am indeed. I'm firmly convinced of that. The modus operandi of shadow people is very well suited to djinn. The djinn are the hidden ones, and shadow people are hidden entities. They are not in their true form. There's nothing human about them. They watch, they observe, they manipulate. Sometimes they attack. When they attack, people feel vampirized. They feel their life force has been weakened or taken in some way. The entities can interfere with their lives in certain ways, in their relationships, health issues. And this is a pattern of characteristics and behavior that is very strongly identified with djinn. And when I was studying shadow people, I went through a considerable process of elimination to try and understand what these entities were. They did not behave like ghosts. They did not behave, even though they seemed demonic, they did not behave like demons, because many of them just watch and observe, and they don't do a progressive spiritual takeover. They're capable of invading dreams, but they weren't just like a nightmare hag either. They are associated with poltergeist effects, but they're not just a poltergeist. And so on and on, I went through a process of elimination, and the only thing that fit all of those categories were the djinn.
Well, process of elimination, huh?
So if evidence comes along that indicates that shadow people may be something else or may involve things other than Jin, I'm entirely open to it. I think it's very important to be open-minded in research. And I've had to revise my views a number of times because of the evidence I've come across. But so far, I have not come across anything that indicates that shadow people are other than Jin.
All right, next up we go to Gary in Carteret, New Jersey. Hey, good morning, Gary. Go ahead.
Hey, great show, George. I have a question concerning the Jin and possibly like a Sasquatch, because from what I understand, some people run into a Sasquatch and it's just a higher primate, and it's just like seeing another wild animal. And then some people run into a Sasquatch and they get a sense of dread or menace from it. Is there a possibility that a djinn could, instead of trying to get to a human, maybe get into a higher primate?
Oh, well, yes, they could, although I consider the Sasquatch entity to be from a parallel dimension. I do not consider them to be Earth-originated primates. I think they are entities who live in a parallel dimension, and we find them frequently in ours. And yes, Jin could certainly take that form. Our mysterious creature contacts, including Sasquatch, would be well suited to Jin behavior, Jin motives, and Jin agenda. Here again, we run into this question of, well, where does one stop and the other start? Are all of these things Jin, or are Jin mixing in among them? My opinion at this stage in my research is the Jin mix in among them, that they know these other entities exist and that we're interested in them and have contact with them, and they assume those forms when it suits their purpose to pass themselves off.
Well, that could very well be. We go to Amber now in Livermore, California. Amber, you're on with Rosemary Ellen Guiley. Go ahead.
Hi, am I coming through okay?
Yes, you are.
Okay. I wanted to ask your guest about these reoccurring dreams that I've had. I mean, I've had some precognitive dreams before, and I think I'm pretty sensitive to that sort of thing, and being able to interpret what certain symbols mean as far as, like, how I feel and what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But what's bothering me is this buzzing thing that has been happening since I was a little girl. It's like I feel it all the way through my body, and I can see it and hear it. And I've had a couple people tell me what they think it is. One lady was a very religious lady who was interested in dreams, and she scared the crap out of me because I was about 15 years old, and she told me that there were bad spirits trying to attack me. And then a few years ago, another person had told me that it might be the beginning of an out-of-body experience. And so I go through periods of time where I don't have them. And so the last one I had was just a couple of months ago, and I treated it like a possible out-of-body experience because I've never had that before. And so I tried to sit up, and I actually did see myself sleeping, but it could have been my imagination.
Amber, what's your question, though?
My question is, what is that? Is it OBE or is it bad spirits, or I don't know.
When something like this occurs during sleep and dreaming, it's usually associated with the onset of OBE. We do go out of body when we sleep, and sometimes when people are in the early stages of lucid dreaming, they will get a buzzing sensation throughout the body, tingling, an electrical vibration. I've had that happen myself, where I become aware of this incredible vibrating in my body, and it's before the onset of lucid dreaming, which I do believe takes place in an out-of-body kind of experience. So that may be what's going on.
Well, you know, in most OBEs, you have that jarring effect, but not really a buzzing effect, Rosemary, right?
Well, buzzing does occur. People hear a buzzing sound in their ears. They may vibrate. In entity contact experiences, sometimes the buzzing, roaring, clicking, humming sounds are associated with the arrival of an entity. And I think that this is a phenomenon of an interdimensional shift going on where we have an opening occurring, and this is one of the phenomena of that.
We've got Cody, first-time caller, St. Cloud, Minnesota. Hey, Cody, go ahead. Thanks.
Hey, George. Thanks for having me on the show. Long-time listener. Great show tonight, by the way. I've spent my whole life experiencing a wide range of experiences, anything from UFO sightings to seeing shadow people to paranormal experiences. I recently was informed by my mother that she had a reoccurring dream that would change from time to time while she was pregnant with me, where she would be abducted and brought into a ship. And just checked up on, you know, how's the pregnancy, that sort of thing. I started looking into Jinn a few months back, and was beginning to maybe wonder if a Jinn could attach itself to not just an individual, but an entire bloodline.
Yes, there is precedence for that, where they are attached to generational lines. And sometimes people make deals with the jinn, and these deals go cut across generational lines. And sometimes they take interest in people for reasons that are obscure to us, and they track people. And we find this pattern in the ET abduction scenario as well, where entire bloodlines are involved. It's also a prominent feature in the shadow person experience, where families report being followed by an entity, no matter where they live. Members of the same family encounter this figure. So that is a characteristic.
How many jinn are out there? What do you think?
It's hard to say, George. It's sort of like asking how many angels are there. We don't really know. I would guess that they have quite an extensive population and society in their own realm.
Well, they very well could be. Rosemary, the book, of course, The Jinn Connection, where do you get it?
It's available on Amazon in hard print and as an ebook on Kindle, and also on my website, visionaryliving.com, and I do send those out autographed.
And, of course, the jinn is spelled D-J-I-N-N. It's a silent D.
Right. That's one of the spellings. It's also westernized as J-I-N-N. And I'd also like to mention my website, jinnuniverse.com. You can also get the book there. I set up Jinn Universe.
Okay, we're going to hold on for a second, Rosemary. We'll hit the break. We'll be back. We would love to hear your editorial. Simply send it to editorial@coasttocoastam.com. Make it about a minute long, and we'll probably call you back and record it and include your name and phone number so we can get back to you. editorial@coasttocoastam.com. And welcome back. Rosemary Ellen Guiley with us. Your phone calls, and we'll go straight to them because we don't have a lot of time. Ray in McAllen, Texas, on our Skype line. Hey, Raymond, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, George?
Okay,
great
Ray.
Show, big fan.
Thank you.
How you doing, Rosemary?
Fine, thanks, Ray.
Okay. Well, the reason I'm calling is because I've had dreams where I'm able to change them. For example, when I was younger, I had a dream where I walk into a house and there's a shooter inside the house, and I hide behind a chair, and of course, I get shot because the bullets go through the chair. And then later on in the years, I have the same dream, and I walk into the house, and I remember it, and I don't hide behind the chair. I go somewhere else where I don't get shot. I don't know what kind of dream, what it means, or, you know, if there's any explanation for it.
Dreams in which we're attacked by invaders are often related to something invading our life that's harmful to us. And so to be able to change that dream is part of your ability to get on top of the situation, to not be harmed by something that's coming at you. In other words, something can be averted before it gets to the point of harm. And in the dream, it's a physical harm, but that could be symbolic of anything going on in life. So it's important to relate dreams to what's going on in daily life. Is there a situation going on in which we feel we might be in danger in some way, or something is not in our best interest? Dreams monitor our emotions, and they feed back to us how we feel emotionally about situations. So see if anything like that applies to this sort of scenario.
Rosemary, we were talking about your JinUniverse.com website that you opened up with this book. Tell us a little more about it.
It's an educational site about the jinn, and it includes hundreds of testimonials from people all over the world about their own jinn experiences, and, of course, a chance for people to express their views on the jinn. I highly recommend it. It's a real eye-opener if you're unfamiliar with the jinn. And then one other thing I wanted to mention is my new dream page on visionary living. You know, dream interpretation is so important and also so popular. I've just set up a new page to help people interpret their own dreams. And it's got some questions and answers about the most common kinds of dreams and what they could possibly mean, and a format for interpreting your own dreams so that you can apply the benefit of them to daily life. And that's at visionaryliving.com.
That sounds good. And how easy is it to interpret your own dreams?
It's surprisingly easy. At first, dreams seem very mysterious because they speak in symbols and they seem bizarre, stories without a middle or an end, and they involve bits and pieces of daily life. But once you understand how they speak symbolically and how they relate to emotions, the more you pay attention to dreams, the easier it is to understand them.
All right, next up we go to Savant in Warrensburg, Missouri. Hello there, Savant.
How you doing tonight, George? Good listening to the program, and I appreciate the information that's coming out. I've got a question and a comment, and I'd kind of like to preface the fact that in the conversations, it's been mentioned that the jinn like to be around electronic equipment, computers, people that repair them, whatever. I've been in computer science, and I've done about 40 years of research on this, and what I have come to the conclusion is, and would like to ask the question, are you aware of the fact that through all of the World Wide Web, the data centers, the frequencies from cell phones, from Wi-Fi, it is actually opening up our atmosphere through portals to allow these fallen angels, jinn, spirits, whatever you want to call them, to come into the earth? I know there was a comment made that they're gradually trickling in. But right now, as we're getting closer to the end times or realization or the awakening, they're starting to pour in, and these frequencies are actually influencing the thought of mankind, because our brains work on specific frequencies that are interrupted by all these frequencies from all the electronics. What I have found is that there is a mathematical formula that exists that in the science of putting all this frequency together, there is a point of synchronization to where it is basically opening up these portals to let the spirits come in. An example of it is the Tibetan monks that use kind of a drone sound when they go through their meditations that brings in these spirits of knowledge. Are you familiar with this pattern at all?
I'm not familiar with the specific formula that you might be referencing, but I do agree that all of these electronic advancements are affecting frequencies of sound and vibration that are contributing to the opening up of portals. And this is one reason why we are seeing an increase in entity contact experiences across the board, and especially with the problematic ones. Interestingly, frequent experiencers, some of them have experimented with sound as a defense and with generating certain tones and sounds within the body, within the mind, is even effective as a way of pushing things away. So this is yet another area where we need to be much more aware of the things that are affecting our environment, our own energy field, and the ability of other beings to approach us and interact with us.
How do we close that portal?
Some of them are very difficult to close. And let's face it, we are permanently in an electronic age here where all of this technology is not going to go away. But we need to be aware of how it is impacting us and how it can affect our thoughts, our emotions, even our physical health. So these are things that bear investigating. And if there are certain tones and formulae that can be applied to improve our barriers, we should look more closely at these.
Let's go to Fair Oaks, California. Rachel's turn, wildcard line. Hey, Rachel, go ahead.
Hi, George. It's a pleasure to talk to you again.
Thanks.
Hey, Rosemary.
Good evening.
It's very fascinating to talk to you. I've always been completely fascinated by dreams. I wanted to ask you your interpretation of one that I had. It was about 20 years ago, but it was very vivid, and it's always kind of stuck with me. And anybody I've asked has never been able to really tell me what they think it means.
All right. Fire away.
It was about 20 years ago, and at that time I was young and just married. And the dream, I was with my new husband, and it was apparent that he was I never said it outright, but he was, you know, basically giving up his soul. And I was begging him not to do it, that he was being deceived, don't do it. And as morning came, he went outside, and it was really cloudy, and there was these boiling green clouds in the sky, very low. And from out of the clouds, it opened kind of like a trap door, and a big green dragon flew out. It hovered over my husband at the time. And then it spit out this green fire, this big stream of green fire, hit him. He crumpled to the ground. I was screaming, no. And then it went and noticed me and hovered over me, and it spit the green fire out. But I held out my hand, the palm of my hand, like as in a stop, and the fire bounced off the palm of my hand and went back up and didn't hurt me at all. And then the dragon went back up into the clouds. And I was wondering what your take on that is.
Wow, that's a different one, Rosemary.
Yeah, a lot going on in that dream. One thing we need to do with dreams is relate all elements in them to ourselves, including other people. So even though, you know, you've got a lot of emotions going on with a new relationship, the husband figure should be examined as an expression of oneself as well. And there are a lot of associations with dragons. They're an intense fire energy, and fire purifies and it heals, and green is associated with the color of healing. So if I have this dream, it seems like this green dragon is infusing me with a healing energy. Perhaps something about the relationship is going to be very healing for one or both of us. And I would start with those associations and see where they lead me in terms of, you know, what all happened with the relationship. To me, it doesn't sound like a problematic dream. It sounds like it has a lot of good auspices to it.
All right. Thanks, Rachel. Hope that helped you. We go next to Josie in Richmond, Virginia. Welcome to the show, Josie.
Hello, George. Hi, Rosemary. I have a dream, and I also tend to dream on the full moon period or the new moon period. I don't know if I'm the only one. I am a full moon child. It's when I was born. It was Scorpio, Taurus, exact opposition. But I wondered about my dream because I I have no desire to go to Israel. We're coming up on the 46th anniversary of the attack on the Liberty by Israel. And I thought, I don't know why this would have anything to do with Israel necessarily, but that's where this dream took place. Even though I wasn't normally would go there, I was with some traveling companions. We were in a sort of little, sort of enclosed porch. It had long rectangular windows. You could look out and see a beach, not too crowded, not white sand like beautiful beaches, but not bad. And, you know, some water. I don't know if it was lake or if it was an ocean or a sea. And we were sitting around, and it came. We were at getting it settled. We were going to stay there for the night, and come to find out that it was $429 a night. And we were saying, "What? Why was it so expensive?" Next thing we knew, somebody else came down, and there was a drink to be served. And this lady that had just sat down said, "Halb," meaning half in German, meaning half the price of the drink. And we thought, yeah, maybe half the price of what they were charging for the room rate. I couldn't figure out what any of this has to do with anything. And I thought, well, maybe, Rosemary, you can help me.
Now, this is a hodgepodge, Rosemary. Do we get some of those?
A lot of dreams are like that. And this is why some people think, well, they just can't possibly make sense. So you have to start with individual symbols. And take the dream apart little by little. Everything in a dream should go through a process of free association. If this were my dream, what does Israel represent to me? And you fire things off the top of your head.
Yeah.
And see how those connect with what's going on in your life. Having to pay more for something than you should and then getting a break. Could relate to having to make a decision about something or having to make choices. Maybe something isn't such a good deal after all. So all of these things have to be related individually to what you're feeling, what's going on in life, and then put back together in a new symbolic story.
That is a strange one, though. You have a lot. Now, do some people just, remember we talk about nightmares, do they simply get them because they had a pizza that night or something?
Well, there have been theories going back to ancient times that meals can cause disturbing dreams. But most of the time, our disturbing dreams really are helping dreams because they're calling our attention to areas of life that are out of balance. All of us go through times of turmoil. We have avoidance things going on or situations where we feel like we just have to put up with something because we don't have any control over it. And the dreams reflect our true feelings about those situations. When we are in relationships and situations that go over a long period of time and become very detrimental to us, dreams can get more intense and more negative. It's the dreaming way of getting our attention to address something that needs attention to bring balance back into life. So sometimes the nightmare can be your best friend.
All right, next up we've got the Jessica in St. Augustine. Hey, Jessica, go ahead.
Hey, I just wanted to compliment both you guys for all the light that you're shedding to everybody. And I wanted to ask if both of you, have you ever heard of a guy by the name of Kevin Trudeau?
Oh, yeah. We've heard of Kevin Trudeau a lot. You know, the government's trying to sanction him for a number of things. We sure have. But he doesn't do much about dreams. He's more into alternative medicine and things like that. I don't think, Rosemary, he's not a dream person, is he?
Not that I'm aware of.
No, I don't think so. So that's him, Jessica. Thanks for the compliment, though. Bismarck, North Dakota. Chris, welcome to the show. You're up with us. Go ahead, Chris.
My question is in regards to the djinn and demonic possession. Many years ago, I felt like I was about to be possessed, and the thing that brought this back up was talking about spiritual energy. I had called on basically God to save me, and I felt a burst of energy come from me. And before that, I felt like a really coldness and trying to take over my body, and I was kind of curious as to the jinn in relation to that.
Sounds you mean like in terms of how they possess people?
I felt like I was going to be possessed, like it was going to take over my body.
I have encountered many individuals who feel that entities have made attempts to take them over, and they've been able to resist. This may happen more than we realize, because the case has never progressed to full-blown possession. But the jinn have various ways of entering a person's physical form. Oftentimes, they will just manipulate thoughts. Sometimes these instances happen during a nighttime attack. It seems that some people are especially vulnerable then, and that's when the entity will try and make some sort of invasion. Demonic possession can happen in similar ways as well. I hope that answers your question. I'm not sure exactly what information you're looking for.
Rosemary, when a priest tries to do an exorcism, is he getting out, he's trying to get rid of a jinn?
Sometimes they may be dealing with jinn and they think they're dealing with demons. And sometimes the entities will resist expulsion. Certain demons can do that too. These entities have different levels of strength. A jinn tactic that investigators have come across is it's a deception. It's like, oh, I'll make you think you've got rid of me and I'll just go away for a while and then I'll be back. And they're not affected at all by the exorcism. They just fake it.
They're out there. They're out there in record numbers, I take it. I don't know if we'll ever recognize one of these little entities in our lifetime, Rosemary, but I hope I never run into one.
I hope so too, George. If they have an increasing presence on the planet, it's quite likely that more of us will be encountering them.
You never know. Rosemary Ellen Guiley. Rosemary, thanks again for being on the program. The name of her latest work, of course, is The Jinn Connection, and her websites are linked up at coasttocoastam.com. For Dan Galante, Will Wilkerson, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, George Knapp, John B. Wellesley, and Pundit and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safer.